I greet you this third Sunday of Lent and call to your attention our New Testament lesson for the day, which is Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. I'll ask that you read that at your leisure, in the meantime, what I'll do is just share a few verses of this passage with you. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have obtained access to his grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in our hope of sharing the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. And then let me jump from verse 5 to verse 8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we are now justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. And again, I ask that you read the entire passage, Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, at your leisure. But I want to share just a couple of thoughts with you this morning via this online broadcast. In light of the fact that circumstances keep us from being together in one room, let us be together in heart and mind and spirit via the media of our website. Speaking of media, our social media accounts are important to most people these days. Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, and I'm sure there are several others that I don't even know the names of. They are very important because they provide a way of our communicating with others in our family, in our friends, communicating with people around the world, people we have not seen for years and years and years. The good side of it is that you can just sit down and record your thoughts. You can put all your information on it and send it to job recruiters and keep people pretty much abreast of what's happening in your life. The downside of our social media accounts is that they can become a means for misuse. What do I mean by that? Well, most of us know what it's like to do some foolish or crazy stuff in our younger years. Those of us who grew up in a time before social media can leave those regrets in the past because there aren't a lot of photos and posts about some stupid stuff we may have done in our youth. But these days, a person's whole life, every random thought and emotion and insensitive joke and embarrassing picture can wind up online. And it's nearly impossible to take this stuff back unless you hire a company that will erase, track down all of your social media input and erase it. So therefore, we need to be careful, and I say this especially to our young people, we need to be careful about what we put online. I had one young relative who I was so disappointed with because she got angry with her boss, and she decided to badmouth the boss, badmouth her job, using a lot of profanity, and just rant and rave. And I reminded her that this will follow you. If someone is looking to recruit you for a particular job, if there's a college recruiter or a scholarship recruiter somewhere out there, they might go to your social media account and track down this kind of stuff. And so you really run a risk of putting all your stuff out on the internet. And on top of that, even if you are personally careful, we have to remember that our friends and family can post all kinds of embarrassing things about us online. So, long story short, social media has its pluses and its minuses. However, if we look at what can happen in our earthly experiences with such things as social media, and compare it to the way God treats our foolishness, the things we do, our profile, let's say, you know, there's a great big difference. Professor Kate Eckard wrote a book about the dangers of the online world called The End of Forgetting. In her book, she says that our online information means we can't ever forget the past or distance ourselves from it. In an interview about her book, she said, "My point is that there is something liberating about being able to forget the past and reinvent yourself in the present. Much of growing up, I would argue, is about reinventing yourself multiple times, and that requires being able to forget who you were 6 months ago, 3 years ago, 10 years ago. So forgetting is ultimately about freedom. Forgetting is ultimately about freedom." I think there's some truth to that statement. In what ways does our past define us? In what ways does it inspire us or hold us back? And what does it mean to be set free from our past? Let me share an example with you from Morehouse College back in 2019. A person was called there to be the graduation speaker. His name was Robert F. Smith, a billionaire investor. As he was giving the commencement speech for the 2019 graduates, he ended his speech by announcing that he was paying off the student loans of all the graduating class of about 400 students. He explained this incredible generosity by saying, "This is my class, and I know my class will pay this forward." These young students were starting off their professional lives already deeply in debt from student loans. And in one unexpected moment, Mr. Smith wiped out all that debt, wiped it all away, and set those students free from a burden that would have followed them for years to come. How would you feel if you were one of those students, one graduate who had approximately $90,000 in student loans, said, "If I could do a backflip, I would." I guess we all would feel that way, wouldn't we? If we were suddenly set free from an overwhelming debt, the joy and gratitude would be unbelievable. Maybe that's the way the Roman church felt as Paul spoke to them. Maybe they were overwhelmed with joy and gratitude, just like those students from Morehouse, because Paul was telling them that they had been set free from the burden of sin and death. Jesus had paid the debt for them with his own life. They were set free from their past, set free from their future judgment, and set free from a new relationship set free for a new relationship with God. And all this was made possible by their faith in Jesus Christ. What we hear then Paul saying to them is that, in particular way, specific words, he says, "We have all sinned and fallen short of God's glory and perfection, all of us, with no exception. But yet God has wiped away our imperfection. Your good deeds can't save you on their own, Paul tries to say to them. Your status can't save you. Can you achieve moral and spiritual perfection on your own? No. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all face separation from God. But because of Christ's one deed, paying the price for us, then we have been brought into a new relationship with our Creator. Wow, what a feeling, what a freedom. We cannot earn a place in God's kingdom on our own merits. So before the creation of the world, God knew He would come Himself in the person of Jesus Christ and give us His holiness in place of our sin. All those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, all of us who have fallen short of God's glory, have been given the best thing that we could ever receive. But Paul also tells the church then, and he tells us as well, that through our faith in Jesus Christ, we have been set free from our sins. So not only have we been given a new prescription, not only have we been told that regardless of our imperfections, we can claim a new relationship with God in the present, but our future sins as well will be forgiven as long as we remain faithful and as long as we keep our hand in God's hand. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then we pass through the red doors of freedom. We pass through to a new relationship. Jesus' blood paid the debt of our sins and brought us into eternal life with God. So in the Romans passage, you hear a message for right now and a message for the future. I would recommend that you, at your leisure, read that entire passage and ask yourself, what is being said to me personally about God's love, about God's redemption, about the possibilities for my life, about what God will, has, and can continue to do for me.